Final hour DDC here on this hot Wednesday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Look, there is a giant void for tomorrow's 1 o'clock
giant
time slot. Giant. Like, how do you fill that void? Because we have moved Elliot Friedman from Thursday at 1 o'clock to today. That's just this week. And that's fine. But that leaves a gigantic crater tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So how do we go about trying to fill that? We did our best. And Willie, we're going to have Bill Haslam join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So Bill Haslam,
I think 1:15 official
governor.
Time.
1:15. Yeah.
But close enough to Elliot's slot.
Look, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, okay?
It fit better by just saying one.
Elliot now joins us. 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, Sports Night. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to say this. If there's going to be an over-under of complaints that you have Bill Haslam on instead of me, I'm going to set the over-under at half, and I'm taking the under.
Well, we had to react to this. We just could not leave that giant crater, that giant void there tomorrow, because people are used to you being there. You know, that mountain was large to climb, so we thought we'd try to do the best we could do, and we figured the governor and, you know, there's kind of news with Bill Haslam, so he's going to join us tomorrow in your time slot.
You guys are such liars, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of timely, I have to say. Definitely the Predators fans will want to know what's going on.
So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. So right now, let me just start with this. By the way, you did a really good job last night, and we'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. So what hire, and I'm just going to leave it kind of a blank canvas for the most part and let you take it however you want. What hire so far has you the most intrigued moving forward? How would you answer that?
Oh, well, I think, like, honestly, the one that's still to come. Like, to me, the most intriguing thing is what favorite son of Nashville, Barry Trotz, is going to do. That is still the most fascinating decision. So it hasn't been made yet. If you think about it, it's been a really interesting coaching carousel in the sense that, you know, right from the beginning, we knew that Barry Trotz was going to have a decision to make. There was a lot of interest in him. Vegas, you know, decided they couldn't wait. He told Philly that it wasn't going to be them. And, you know, Winnipeg is still here waiting to find out, you know, what's going to happen at the altar. You know, when the chapel bells go, is there going to be a wedding? And, you know, they're kind of still trying to figure out, you know, what's going on there and what the situation is going to be. And I have a feeling we'll probably know, you know, this week or next on Trotz and what his decision is going to be. But, you know, I mean, we're coming, like, Winnipeg has waited for him. I don't think he's in on Boston. I think he's been around Detroit, though I'm not sure what they're going to do. So I think it's a situation where it's going to be Winnipeg. It's going to be taking the year off, or at least to start, or he comes to join the Predators in a management role. And, you know, I mean, I guess there's other options out there, but I would be surprised if there was something else besides that.
Tell me if you buy any part of my logic that I threw out there yesterday on the show.
Okay,
just my experience, Elliot, with coaches over the years, coaches who have made a mark or an impact in a market. And you can pick any sport. This is not just a hockey thing. Mm-hmm. They typically don't like to, you know what, in the nest, okay? They don't like to mess with something they've built in a certain market. So typically, they never go to a rival, right? They don't take a job with a rival. They don't take a job with somebody in the division. And we know Barry Trotz has built a nest in this marketplace. He is beloved in Nashville. And I just don't see him for two reasons. One, I don't think Winnipeg is equipped and built to do a lot of winning to the level that he wants to right now, this instant. But the other part of it is I don't think he wants to coach against the Predators in their division because of what he has in this marketplace. Do you buy any of that?
I buy some of it, but not all of it. And, you know, the one thing you have to remember is that Manitoba is home for him. And, you know, like, for example, we saw that this year. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury, for example, I think he's considered the possibility of going back to Pittsburgh. And Washington wanted him this year, and he wasn't sure that he wanted to play. But he didn't want to play for the Capitals because he thought, you know what, like, can I go back to play for Pittsburgh after I go play for Washington? And that was definitely a factor with him. I think, like, for example, I'd say in a lot of your division, that theory is a good one. Winnipeg is different because it's home. And I think that if he's considering it at all, and I think he has considered it, the fact that it's home and that winning there would be meaningful for him if it was to happen, I think he would consider that. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do it, but I think he would consider that. And I think that would put Winnipeg in a bit of a different spot for him than, say, St. Louis or Chicago.
Now, a lot of the talks we've had today, because as you can imagine, this is hour number four. We've spoken a lot today on the awards last night,
yeah,
and we've talked a lot about the Norris. And
yeah,
here's my take. Here's my two cents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with Makar winning it. Here's mm-hmm. where my problem lies. In my opinion, Cale Makar and Roman Josi were the two best defensemen in the league this year. Nothing against Victor Hedman, nothing against McAvoy, nothing against Fox, any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're tremendous
mm-hmm.
at what they do. But this is about this season, and they mm-hmm. were clear-cut 1 and 2 in whatever order you have them in this award. And the problem that I have is for the – I have to go back. Willie, help me with my math. The 17
third place, 3 fourth place, okay, and one
so
off the ballot.
The 21 votes that didn't vote Roman Josi first or second, that's where my problem lies.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. This is not something that comes easy to me. I don't like to criticize voters because God knows that my ballot is never perfect. I'm sure when they're all revealed, and they're all going to be revealed, there's going to be people who hate some of my picks too, and they're going to argue that some of my picks are terrible. But I do agree with you on this one. You know, first of all, we don't have a problem with Saros, right? Like, everybody understands that Shesterkin deserved
absolutely
this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay,
same
okay.
thing with Tanner
right.
Janot, who wasn't a finalist,
yeah,
but slipping to where
I
he slipped,
finish,
understandable.
I saw Janot finish 7th. I thought that was really low. If I'm not mistaken, I think I had him 2nd or 3rd. I was surprised that Janot finished as low as he did. You know, I think that I agree with you. Like, I'll tell you honestly, like, my ballot, Josi was number 1 on my ballot, and he was number 3 on my hard ballot. I had him 3rd in the hard trophy balloting. And I agree with you. I think Makar is a very worthy winner. He was number 2 on mine, and I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm just surprised. The ones that had Josi 4th, and I guess there was someone who didn't have Josi on the ballot at all. We believe there was one voter who didn't have him. I just disagree with that. I like, you know what? If you want to say Hedman's Hedman and you want to put him in the top, you want to put him ahead, okay, I don't agree this year, but I'm not going to get upset about that. I just think for someone not to have Josi on the ballot, I just disagree with that. And, you know, it's, like I said, either one could have won. They're both deserving winners, but I was surprised when I saw the breakdown. I was very surprised.
I know it. People were looking all over the place and trying to analyze and pick it apart. Elliot, I know it's happened at least one other time in the last 10 years or so, but how many times can you recall in any of the trophies where a guy had 6 more first place votes than the next guy and still didn't win?
I think if you go back, the one I remember, and I don't remember the exact circumstances, was in 2002. It was Jose Theodore won the Hart Trophy, and you'd have to go back to check the exact voting. I think they were tied, and Jerome Iginla was tied with them, and one voter left Iginla off the ballot, and that's why Iginla lost. That's the closest one I can remember. It has happened a few times, but it's very, very rare.
So, Elliot, let's look at the finals that continue tonight. I've enjoyed you and Jeff's coverage throughout the playoffs here, and you guys always talk about just never doubt Tampa. And I think at the same time, I think we were all wondering, you know, what would happen in Game 3, and they did what they are so capable of doing. But they're so banged up. Can they do it again tonight? I still look at them as the more banged up team of the two.
Well, I would agree with you on that. I also think it's very possible we're going to get a Nazem Kadri signing tonight. I didn't like the way that Kadri was shooting the puck today, but you never know. He could be playing possum. He could be holding it in until game time. But my expectation is we're going to see him this evening, and I hope so. You know, Braden Point, I saw him walking out today. He was smiling, but he's still limping. It's got to be really, really tough for him. I can't imagine being in his shoes, how disappointed he must be that he can't play. I do agree with you that their health is much better for the Avalanche. The one thing I'm really curious tonight is going to be the Vasilevsky factor. And, you know, Vasilevsky is starting to go, and he was much better last game. And, you know, this is a big night for Kemper. To me, I had absolutely no question that Darcy Kemper should start this game tonight. He was a deserving player, 100% in my eyes. But if he has a rough night tonight, then Colorado's going to have a choice to make.
Mm, no doubt about it. Before we let you go, Elliot, I know you had a round of golf at one point when you joined us. I know you've been doing a lot of footcasts, I think is what Jeff's calling it. You've been walking home from the arena or walking back to the hotel from the arena. So is there anything we should know about today's interview?
Sounds like you're packing.
You know what? I am packing. You're right. It's very good. I just came back from the gym. I am packing up because, first of all, I am always late, and tomorrow, and I'm not a morning person. And tomorrow we have to leave the hotel at 6:30 a.m. So I was instructed to pack early. Like Kevin Bieksa told me, if I was late tomorrow, he was going to punch me in the face. And even though he looks like he punches as soft as feathers, I don't want to take the risk.
Well, you can, if you need to go back at him, just remind him of the slow motion punch he took from Mike Fisher, which is still on the top of the list of any punch ever thrown by a Predator. And he had the he had a tooth. It was a slow motion. His tooth was like hanging and spinning in the air, and it was still attached somehow. But it went viral.
Oh my goodness!
Ask him about the Mike Fisher punch.
Yep.
In the phase. It's still the number one ranked. And Jordan Tutu threw a lot of great haymaker. He's still, like, overall the heavyweight champion. But Mike Fisher, that one punch, I think, is the number one ranked clip. And Kevin Bieksa I would be curious if he remembers that, because as you talk about all the time, he's a character, right? He's a guy that is willing to yuck it up, and he makes fun of himself and everything like that. I think he'd be a good sport about that.
Oh, he would be. I'm going downstairs in a minute to go see him, so I'm going to bring it up to him, and I'll see what he says. I'll text you. But he, I'll tell you, like he still has like a couple of fake teeth, and we'll be going to dinner, and he'll pick it out in the middle while he'll pull out the teeth while he's chewing food and stuff like that. Like it's just disgusting, but it's hilarious. He's really a good sport about that. I'm going to have to find out. I'm going to text you because I'm going to see him.
In the meantime, we'll try to find the video of it, because it was just miraculous that the tooth stayed attached somehow, because it was fluttering, if you will.
Okay. This is great stuff. This is the whole conversation.
Usually you're giving us info, so we're just glad to return the favor on some level here.
All right. That's fantastic, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so tomorrow it's going to be even, or Colorado will have a commanding 3-1 lead?
I always root for a long series. I think it's going to be even. The one thing I'll say, guys, that worries me for Tampa, we have not seen the arrival of Mount McKinnon yet. And you know that's going to be coming.
Oh, okay. All right. Elliot, good stuff. Good job last night. We'll talk to you next week. Bill Haslam in your spot tomorrow.
All right. Enjoy the interview, guys. Have a great week.
All right. You do the same. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, and, of course, Sportsnet. And we will indeed have Bill Haslam. It's going to be final hour, 1 o'clock-ish. ISH, so probably more towards the 1:15. So keep that in mind tomorrow. But I can tell you right now, definitively, you're going to talk about Lone Pronto.
Oh, yes, I guess I am. Lone Pronto definitely has something you need to take note of in this day and age. Every day it's on our mind, the economy, the gas prices, it could put the squeeze on you right now. But if you're looking for an alternative, a solution, something that's going to relieve that pressure, especially if you've got some high-interest loans that are piling up, credit cards, the day-to-day thing, the expenses, it's tough sometimes. But here's the way you can lower your overall monthly payments by as much as $800 and say goodbye to those 23% credit card rates or other high-interest loans. It's a fast, easy home refi from Loan Pronto. They can help you unlock that home's equity, get cash out at a great low rate so you can pay off all that high-interest debt and stop the madness. Loan Pronto can tap into your home's equity in as fast as 2 weeks and get you a check for $50,000 or more. Pay off the credit card bill. Pay off your car loan. Pay off other high-interest debt and just have one lower monthly payment. You do it now and you can even skip your next two house payments altogether. So call 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.